Thank you very much. I appreciate that welcome. But can we do a little hooping and hollering for Jesus this morning? Can we put our hands together? Come on, that was pretty good, but I think we can do a little bit better than that. I've seen us at WSU football games. I've stood on the sidelines, and most people don't stay seated the entire time. Let's not give the world something more than what our God deserves. Can we do a little hooping and hollering for Jesus this morning? Hallelujah! Come on. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Let's give God the praise that he deserves this morning. Amen. I'm so excited to be in the house of God this morning. I'm honored and privileged to stand before you guys and share God's heart, share God's word that he has placed on my heart. And my prayer is to encourage us forward in the things of God this morning. Amen. I'm excited. I've been thinking about a word that Pastor Chris Estrada, if you remember when he was speaking, he shared a word over our church that we were in a preseason. And I've been thinking about that, praying about that. What does it look like for our body as a church whole? What does it mean in my life individually? What does it mean in our lives individually? And I'm excited. If you know anything about my past, I was a college strength and conditioning coach. So when I hear the words preseason, baby, I get juiced. Come on now, preseason is my time. It's when we get to work, we get in the weight room, we grind. So I'm excited about a preseason. And I just thought about, like, I wondered how that word landed, how it resonated as I was thinking about it, how it resonated on our church as a body, because I'm sure it hit everybody a little bit different. And I started to think, like, initially, like the fan or the coach side of me, like, if you're a fan, we're getting close to preseason, right? Summer's here. It's not long before it's going to be fall, and we're going to be all excited and juiced up that WSU and U of I are back into football season, and we're going to be excited. Come on. Right? So if you're a fan, you hear preseason, and that's kind of an exciting word, and it gets you juiced up. You get excited because you get to go cheer on the teams that you love to support. And then I started thinking, the athlete side of preseason kind of hit me for a second. And I asked Pastor Phil, how did that land on you? And we had a similar reaction from the athlete's side of when you hear preseason, you know it's go time. You know, like, preseason means, it means summer workouts 4 or 5 days a week. It means hill sprints, sled pushes. It means 2 a day. Well, back in the day, it meant 2 a days at camp. I don't know what happened. They got a little soft on them, Pastor Phil. But I remember 2 a days in college camp, and there's not much worse than putting on your pads for the second time in the middle of the summer for your second practice. So the athlete side of me heard preseason and was kind of like Pastor Phil, like, daggone it. Here comes the work. And I processed it a little bit more, and the coach side of me was processing preseason, and I got excited. Because as a coach, or maybe in this atmosphere, in this realm, maybe a mentor or a discipler, when you think preseason, you think opportunity. I get to do some evaluation of my team and see, where do we need to grow? Where are we strong? Where are we weak? Maybe do we have some holes that we get to improve on in this preseason so that we can be prepared for the season that's coming up. So as a coach, a mentor, a discipler, preseason's exciting because we get to challenge people in growth in things that we know that they're capable of. The preseason, the point of preseason is to be prepared. It's to develop and strengthen necessary qualities for the coming season. And this falls a little bit outside of the sport context analogy, but it's a better fit for the analogy of life. And it catches everybody in the room, so nobody's off the hook this morning. But no matter what season of life you're in, it's a preseason for the season of life that's coming. So no matter where we sit this morning, no matter if you're up here on the stage and leading worship, if you're me giving the word, if you're up in the balcony, you're running a camera, no matter what season of life you're in right now, you're in a preseason for the season of life that's coming. Amen. And my encouragement is this, that regardless of your season right now, or whatever the season is coming, Pastor Phil's been encouraging us to get in the mix. My encouragement this morning and what I want to speak on is to stay in the mix. to stay in the mix. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to come, we'll read this passage of scripture together. I'm coming from James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, consider it a Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask that your word would penetrate our hearts this morning. Lord, we ask that your word would act as a preseason, so to speak, and expose the things in us that need to grow or need to change, that need development by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would use your manservant this morning to deliver your word to your people, that we may be encouraged and edified this morning by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage of scripture comes from the book of James, and this is James. It is confidently decided that James, this is not James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. There's a lot of different James in scripture, but this is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And James had a very influential and pivotal role. And one of the reasons he had a very influential, pivotal role, everyone knew James, because he became, after Peter left, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he was a pillar in that church. And it's one of the reasons people are, historians are confident to say that this is James, because when he introduced himself in this letter, he just said, I'm James. And the idea is that, well, everybody knows who that James is. If it would have been a lesser James, there would have needed to be a little bit more qualifying statement so people could identify him. But this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, who pastored the church in Jerusalem, which was the mother church of Christianity. He was a pillar in the Jerusalem church. James led the church and the people through famine and poverty and through persecution. He was a peacemaker and a martyr. James had street cred with the church, with the people. He had some clout, and I think it was necessary for the way that he started this letter. In the second verse, he starts off by saying, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. I don't know about you, but if someone came to me talking about be happy when you go through a bunch of problems, I'm probably going to look at them sideways. But I think they took this a little bit serious because of who James was, because of the clout he had, and because of how he had led them already, like I said, through famine, through poverty, and through persecution. But even still, I think there was probably a little consider it what, James? And it made me think about in one of the preseasons, when I was coaching at Eastern Washington, we had just graduated a class of seniors that had three different All-Americans. We had five guys with NFL opportunities. We had a quarterback that got drafted in the first round to the CFL who won a Grey Cup. Three of the receivers were 1,000-yard All-Americans. Like, this graduating team was stacked. And we noticed as a coaching staff that we've got probably an equally talented group of guys coming up behind him, but they haven't had the opportunity to put in the work that these seniors had put in. They hadn't had the opportunity to lead the way these seniors had led before. So there was a ton of talent and potential there, but there were some things that were missing that we identified in this preseason, and we realized we had an opportunity to help them grow. And I think I took full advantage of this opportunity. Me and my strength staff drummed up on four Fridays. We had four and a half total weeks of a training, a preseason this summer. And going into that, we decided one of the things that's gonna be really important for this group, because they've rode the coattails of success of this group in front of them for the last 2 to 3 years. They've tasted success, but they don't know necessarily what it meant to build the foundation to experience that success. And so we realized we needed to put them in some difficult situations, some various trials, to make sure that they one, understood the work necessary for success. Two, that they would be a cohesive group, a team that wouldn't splinter in the face of diversity. And so we put them in through a pretty tough summer, and we told them up front, we had four Fridays coming up. And here was the part of the caveat, is they had an opportunity to miss, four workouts. The fifth workout that they missed that summer meant they had to do the conditioning test before we started fall camp football practices. So they could miss four workouts and be scot-free of doing that workout before camp. So we told them, we have four Fridays for training this summer, and none of these Fridays are gonna have anything to do with getting better at football. They're all going to be to see how committed you are to this team. They're all going to be to see how loyal you are to the guy standing next to you. They're all going to be to see how willing you are to work to earn the success that you've previously tasted off of someone else's work. Are you gonna be willing to put in the work to experience the success for yourself? And we told them this up front, because we wanted them to know, because we want to be able to hold people accountable at the end of the summer to say, you didn't show up because you didn't want to. And so the first Friday that we had was, it was 35 110-yard sprints. 35 110-yard sprints. I know it sounds crazy. I was talking to one of my guys on my staff when we did this, and he was like, bro, when we wrote that up, it was comical. 35 110-yard sprints, and all of them had a time requirement. And if you didn't make your time requirement, the entire team had to do a flight of stadium stairs at the end of the 35 110s. I know I'm crazy, but it gets better. That was the first week. Week two, we did 40 half gassers. A half gasser is standing on one sideline, you sprint across the field to the other side, and then you sprint back. All 40 of those half gassers had a time requirement. And if you, one individual, didn't pass your time, meet your time requirement on all 40 of your reps, the whole team had to fly to stadium stairs when we got done with our 40 half gassers. I know I'm crazy. The third week was a big obstacle course. You can probably like CrossFit games on steroids on our football field. There was barbells, medicine balls, ropes, up downs, rolling, jumping jacks, lunges, like you name it, they had to do it for about an hour. And then the last week, we did this run that was 2.5 miles down to the cemetery in Cheney, Washington. I got this run from our cross country coach, and you run 2.5 miles. I know it was for the football team. It doesn't exactly make sense, but 2.5 miles, you do 10 hills on this massive gravel hill. I was nice enough for the O-line and D-line to let them go halfway up the hill. Everybody else had to go to the top. 10 laps on this hill and then a 2.5 mile run back. Here was part of it, and here's kind of the leadership that James has, and it's why people respected and listened to him. I told my staff, all of us on this staff have to pick one of these workouts to do with the team. If we're gonna push them to this limit, we have to be willing to go through some of the suffering and the pain that they're gonna have to go to. If we want them to buy into the program that we're enforcing on them, we gotta show them that we got some skin in the game too. And as a staff, we decided to do that last run, which was that 5 mile run, full round with 10 laps in the middle, and it was brutal.
Did you go all the way up the hill?
All the way up. I had to go all the way up. I couldn't convince him I played D-line in college. The thing about it was, my staff, the rest of the coaching staff, we knew what was on the other side of that summer for that team if they engaged it with the right mindset. The thing about James, when he told them to consider it great joy when you go through various trials, is he knew. He was Jesus' half-brother. He lived life while following and watching Jesus serve, suffer, and eventually die on the cross. He knew what was on the other side of those trials so he could stand in a place and say, consider it with great joy. What Jesus is trying to do in us and what he knows is that he's making us more like him. When he challenges us, consider it with great joy whenever you experience various trials, he knows the plans that he has for us. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us an expected end. He said that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus knows what's on the other side of those various trials. There's a quote by a coach, Lee Bennett, that says, "A coach is someone who always makes you do what you don't want to do so you can be who you've always wanted to be." James was coaching up the church here. He was encouraging them to do things they didn't want to do because he knew they wanted to be more like Jesus. The word consider at the beginning of this verse, from the word consider in the CSB, which is the version we read, is the same word as count in the New King James Version. And the word count means to lead or to command with official authority. James wasn't telling them to take some passive thought process about maybe I'll be joyful through these hard trials and hard and various trials. James was coaching them to command themselves toward joy. If we decide to take a passive approach to life, which is full of trials, the text says when trials come. It doesn't say if. And if we take a passive approach to life and the trials that come, I'm confident to say we won't be joyful through them. But James is telling us to command ourselves, to make a choice toward joy in the Lord when we encounter various trials. And then he says, he talks about these trials. And I think we have to reshape. I know I have to reshape my perspective on trials that I face in life, because the word trials here, the definition of them is a putting to proof, a discipline or a provocation. It's a test. It's an opportunity to be tested. Our preseason is full of tests in football strength and conditioning. We want to see how fast you run your 10. How much can you back squat? Because we want to know how strong you are. How much can you power clean? Because we want to know how explosive you can be. Have we done what we needed to do to produce the athlete to be successful in the game? That's what trials are. They're a test. I think we would all agree that it's good to know how strong our faith is. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to know how strong their faith is? All right, so since we're all on one accord, we all want to know how strong our faith is. We all need to reshape and rethink how we perceive trials in our lives. Trials in our lives are opportunities to test and see how strong our faith is. The word says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'd like to know how strong my faith is because my heart's to please God. Does anybody agree with that this morning? We have to embrace God's upside down kingdom. We've got to learn to embrace God's upside down kingdom. God put this on my heart, so maybe it's not for you because it's a little hard. If you don't mind, if you can't tell, I'm a little bit in coach mode this morning because this word has inspired me in that way. My wife, a few years after we got married, you know, I'd come home from coach and I might as well have not taken off my whistle, my sunglasses or my hat because I'd get right to coaching at home. But one day she squares me up and she's like, "You know what? Me and these kids are not your team. You are not gonna come home and coach us." So I consider that and I ask for your permission. Can I be in coach mode a little bit this morning? God put this on my heart as I love being able to study out God's word and to get into the original Greek and the Hebrew, because there's so much depth, there's so much substance in it. And if it's not something that you do in your time in the word, I encourage you, because it'll change the entire way you take in scripture. It'll change the entire way you understand God's upside down kingdom. God put this on my heart. He said, "Amir, stop having such a passive approach to the application of scripture in your life. Stop having such a passive approach to the application of scripture in your life." Why did God say that? Because the word consider means command yourself towards joy. A passive approach allows me to be take pity in myself, in my trials, in my tribulations. A passive approach allows me to feel sorry for myself. It allows me to play victim. James is saying, take volitional action in your life. Command yourself towards joy in the tests that allow you to see how strong your faith is. It's a completely different perspective on how you look at this passage of scripture. The trial itself is not a joyous occasion. I'm not sitting here telling you that the things that you go through in life, the trials are not what invoke joy in our life. Scripture says this, because you know. Because you know, that's my next point. Because you know what it produces. We know what the trial produces. James is talking to a body of believers. There's a context clue in that phrase. It's an important phrase in this passage of scripture. James says, because you know what it produces. That the context clue here would be whoever he's talking to, it would imply that they have already experienced some type of trial, some type of persecution. Because James is saying, because you know. Because you know. He's talking to the church. In the scripture, it says the 12 tribes that have been dispersed. Why were they dispersed? They were dispersed because of persecution. So they've already faced some trials. And what James is implying is that you've already seen fruit of going through trials because you know. Verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James is giving the church here a pep talk. He's encouraging them. He's coaching them up. He's rallying his troops and he's getting them ready to take on the preseason. I don't know if you've ever heard like a really, really good pep talk, but there's things about a good coach or a good teammate who can bring a pep talk that'll make you want to run through walls. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a guy named Ray Lewis. See if this pep talk does anything for you.
If you've never researched something, I want you to do everybody to do one favor. I want you to research the story of David and Goliath. I want you to understand what the king told David when he put on the armor on David. And he said, I want you to fight Goliath with this armor because he's huge. He's 9 foot tall. And David said something that was very key to the king. He said, King, I can't fight your fight. I got to fight my fight. It's about fighting our fight. 2005, I had one of the most tragic injuries ever. And I couldn't help my team. So the leader was took away so there could be doubt. But if you still have a leader, and Joe Flacco, you got to rally around it. You got to get behind him, and it ain't about wins and losses. It's about loyalty. It's about understanding. I'm going to make the play, or I'm going to watch the play be made. It's simple. It's if I can tell my safety, you cover this because I'm going this time. It's a man on a man. Every time you play the game, it'll never change. It's about winning one-on-one battles. Fight your fight. It's our fight to fight. 1-6 doesn't define who you are. What defines who you are is what you do when you 1-6. What the man you will fight for. Just everything you got today, not because of the scoreboard, but because when this game ends, you have a brother to call for life, knowing you gave everything you had. That's why you play as a Raven. That's why you fight as a Raven. That's why no matter what nobody on the outside says, fight your fight. David found a way to fight his fight. Ravens, Joe Flacco, lead your team. It's your fight. It's our fight. Let's see if somebody can deal with really who we are. Let's go. Let's go. Family on three. Family on three. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know about you, but that gets me fired up. I've got 3 bad knees, I've got a shoulder that's hanging on by string, and 2 screws, but I watch Ray Lewis, and I'm down for at least 1 series. Hey, coach, you can put me in for 4 downs. We better get the turnover in 4 downs, because I'm done after that, but I'll hit somebody after that, after watching that. I love a good pep talk, man. There's something about somebody encouraging you, and I think in the context, I think we love and it's awesome, it's necessary to come together as a body, right? And get encouraged and get a nice pep talk from our worship team, just like we did this morning. It stirs us up and it encourages us. There's something good about coming and hearing the word. When Pastor Phil gets up here and when he's on fire, there's not much in life that's more motivational than watching Pastor Phil be lit on fire when he's delivering a word. I love a good pep talk that can encourage me. But how many do you know sometimes you have to give yourself a pep talk? There are going to be times in your life that you have to command yourself towards joy. You're gonna be in the midnight hour of a trial and you're not gonna be able to ring up the worship team to come down to the building and get everything plugged in so they can play your favorite worship song. Pastor Phil is gonna be on vacation on a cruise or something, and you ain't gonna be able to call him up to deliver a message, but you're gonna be in your midnight hour, and God's gonna say, you need to go to your prayer closet, you need to get in your secret place, and you need to, the word says that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Do you know you can overcome by your own testimony? Sometimes you have to recall in your life, God, I know I can make it because I know what you've done for me. God, I know what you brought me through. God, I know in my deepest trial, sometimes, God, you didn't even deliver me through my trial, but you delivered me in my trial. God, in the midst of chaos, chains fell off, bondage was broken. God, you've delivered me in my trial. Every now and then, you've got to get on your knees, on your face before God, and you've got to encourage yourself. And you got to say, look at this trial and say, I'll make it through because I know. Amen. Because I know. There's times in those situations that I've been asking God to help me through that trial. And God said, I won't change that situation, but I'll change you if you'll let me. God will deliver you in the midst of your trial. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Without adversity, we will never develop endurance. Without adversity, we will never develop endurance. We won't grow. We won't be shaped more like Jesus. If Jesus had to suffer the cross unto death, we won't grow without adversity in our lives. Our faith won't get stronger. In performance training, we follow a model. It's a general physiological model in science. It's called the general adaptation syndrome. For short, it's the GAS model. But we follow this model that basically shows you that the physiological response to your body to get stronger requires stress. It requires something to bring negative adaptation to your body before there's a positive adaptation. You have to go through something. You have to experience something, a stressor, before you have positive adaptation. If you look on the graph here, at the beginning, that would be your normal or your baseline homeostasis, where you operate, whatever physiological system we're talking about. And it says training stimulus applied. That's a stressor. In life, it can be anything. It can be loss of loved ones. It can be losing your job and financial hardship. It can be a broken relationship. It doesn't matter. The body, for one, in a training situation, it doesn't care what stress is applied. It just knows it's stress. Okay, we respond similarly in spirit. A lot of times it doesn't matter what the stress is. The stresses are all important and significant all in their own right, but we respond to a stress in a similar fashion. Do you understand what I'm saying? When initial stimulus is applied, there's an alarm phase, and there's a dip in our base level of homeostasis, how we survive. And after that, there is a resistance phase, and you can see that line climb above what was your previous base norm, and that's called supercompensation. And then you have what after that? There's more. We have. How many graduates do we have up here? More people in here can read than that this morning. After supercompensation, there's what? There's a greater stimulus. We're gonna go through trials and tribulations, but the scripture doesn't say when you go through a trial. It says when you go through various trials, and because God knows what's on the other side, we won't get stronger without these trials. If I go to the gym and I bench 115 for 10 reps, every single time I go to the gym, I will never be able to bench press 225 pounds. I have to, at some point, put a greater stressor on the system. We have to continue to go through trials and tribulations, and the reward when you get stronger is a greater training stimulus. And then you have some options here. We have an option with a dotted line to go on a decline. That says overtraining if you don't rest, or it says a rebound, which we see the cycle continues and we get stronger again if you do rest. Now, you guys aren't gonna set me up this morning. You're not gonna go tell your coach, nope, Amir said I gotta rest. You are not gonna set me up this morning because Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened. And he said, I will give you rest. And then he said, learn from me. So you don't get to put this on me. If you need rest, you need to go to Jesus this morning. But we need trials to prove us. And we need trials to take their full effect in our lives so we can stay in the mix. The last point is full effect. Verse 4, it says, "And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." And let endurance have its full effect. We have to let endurance have its full effect in our lives. God will give us trials, he'll give us tests, he'll give us opportunities to grow our faith, to strengthen, to grow in endurance. But if we don't let the trial do its full work in our life, we won't get stronger. We have to let the endurance have its full effect. And he says this, "So that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Here's one thing that I realize in my life, and I think we could all agree, when we get into trials and tribulations, one of the first things we wanna do is find the fastest way out or through. When we get in trials and tribulations, I don't know about you, I'm looking for the first exit ramp. I don't wanna stay in trials and tribulations. We said it early, it's not the trial that's the joyous occasion. So when I get into one, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the first exit ramp. But scripture tells us, James is coaching us up that we have to let trials take its full effect. Another model that we follow in strength and conditioning is the long-term athletic development model. Long-term athletic development. And what it is essentially is a model that encourages the appropriate time for training stimulus or stressors at the appropriate age. And what that means is you can't take your 8-year-old and train him the same way you would train an Olympic sprinter and get the same results. You can't rush the process. You can't skip steps. We have figured out in human wisdom and in natural athletic competition that it takes from zero, which is when this starts, active start, all the way up to 23 years to get to a point where you can train to win. It didn't say you're competing at an elite level. Well, you are competing at an elite level, but it didn't say you're winning. It said you're training to win. It's 23 years of physical development just to be in a position that you can effectively train to win. But when we get in spiritual trials that are supposed to make us stronger, I look for the first exit ramp. I've got to learn how to stay in the mix. And I can stay in the mix because I know what the trial will produce. It says that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. The word mature from the CSB is the same word as perfect in the King James. And that means complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. When it says perfect, it's not talking about perfection, a sinless lifestyle of perfection. It's talking about perfection of purpose. That's why there's trials with an S, because this trial serves a purpose, and if you let it take its full effect, you'll be full and complete and mature. You'll be perfect in that purpose. You'll come to perfection and maturity, and then the next trial comes, and you let it take its full effect, and then God shapes us to be more like him. We look more like Jesus, and we're closer to the overall perfection, but we're perfect in that purpose. It says to complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. I'm gonna read a description from long-term athletic development about the premise of long-term athletic development. It says this, "Proficiency in many types of physical activity may increase the chances of lifelong participation in physical activity, which could increase longevity and overall quality of life. The long-term athletic development framework ultimately strives to produce elite and consistent performers." Elite and consistent performers. However, it also seeks to provide opportunities for all children to grow into confident, healthy, and active adults. If I may, I'm gonna turn this into long-term spiritual development for us this morning. And I'm gonna read a premise statement. Proficiency in many types of tests or trials will increase the chances of lifelong participation in your Christian faith. Somebody say, stay in the mix. Which will increase endurance and overall quality of life. The long-term spiritual development framework ultimately strives to produce mature, complete Christians, lacking nothing. It provides opportunities for all believers to grow into steadfast and fruitful disciples who are available and equipped for every good work. It produces opportunities for all believers to grow into steadfast and fruitful disciples who are available. Somebody say available. Available. One of the benefits of long-term athletic development is that there's not burnout. You don't experience injury ahead of time because too much stress was placed on your system before you were ready for it. And I used to tell our teams this, that the best ability is availability. The best ability is availability. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how fast you are, how big you are, how strong you are. It doesn't matter what gifting God has gave you. If you're not available, you're no good to the team. The long-term spiritual development process allows you to be available. It allows you to stay in the mix. James wraps it up with this, James 1:12. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who endures. Church, stay in the mix.
Amen.
Consider it great joy. Who's in command? Is your trial or are you? Command yourself towards joy so you can stay in the mix. Stay in the mix because you know this test will make you more like Christ. We need the full effect so that we can stay in the mix. Stay in the mix so that you can receive your crown. Church, go get your crown.